Beautiful Lordship, Shishi Kishor Kishoriki, Parama Karuna, the most merciful Lordship, Shishi Gouranitaiki, Sri Jagannath, Sri Baladev, Shimati Shubhadra Maharaniki, Sri Harinam Sankirtan Jagyaki, Brihad Mardanga, Transcendental Book Distribution Ki, Garantarash, Shimam Bhagavatam Ki, Nitai Goura Premanandi. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to the assembled devotees. Oh, glories to Shishi Guru and Shigouranga.
Hare Krishna, everyone. I'll announce again when more of the devotees are here for breakfast and Sunday feast. But let's formally welcome Subal Prabhu and Krishna Archana Mataji to the community. They've moved here and now they'll be here to give us their association. Thank you. Arivo!
Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Bhalabha Giribhara Dhari Jaya Gopi Jana Bhalabha Giribhara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Bana Chari Jamuna Jamuna Tiravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Gopijana Bhalava Giri Varadhare. Gopijana Bhalava Giri Varadhare. Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tiravana Chare. Jamuna Tiravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribrajakacharya Ashtotarashata Shishimadhi Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribrajakacharya Ashtotarashata Shishimadhi Divine Grace Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrindaki Garantarashimam Bhagavatam Ki. Nitai Gaura Premanandi. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to Shishi Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text Number 45, entitled Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. My wife doesn't allow me to have glasses, and I need glasses. So I have to preach to her. Janmatyunadi grihameda sukan hitu chan. Kandu janena karajor iva dukha dukham. Tripyanti neha kripana bahu dukha bhaja. Kandu tivan manasisi jambiheta dhira. kandutibam manasi jambi saheta dhira jammatyunade grihade disukan hitucham kandujanena karajor ibadhukha dukham Tripyanti neha kripana bahuduka bhaja Kandutiban manasijang upbishaheta dhira Jammatyunade grihane disukan hitucham Kandu janena karajor ibadukha dukham Tripyanti nehan kripana bahodukha bhaja Kandu tiban manasijam bishaheta dhira Please chant. Ladies, yet that which is meant for material sense gratification. Maitunyadi, represented by talking of sex, reading sexual literature, or enjoying sex life, at home or outside in a club. Grihamedishukam, all types of material happiness based on attachment to family, society, friendship, etc. He, indeed, to cham, insignificant, kandujanena, with the itching karajoho of the two hands to relieve the itching eva like dukkha dukham different types of unhappiness into which one is put after such itching sense gratification Tripyanti, become satisfied. Na, never. Iha, in material sense gratification. Kripanaha, the foolish person. Bahu dukha bhaja, subjected to various types of material unhappiness. Kanduti vat, if one can learn from such itching. Manasijam, which is simply a mental concoction. Actually, there is no happiness. Visaheta, and tolerates such itching. Diraha, he can become a most perfect sober person. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sex life is compared to the itching of two hands to relieve an itch. Grihamedis, so-called grihastas, who have no spiritual knowledge, think that this itching is the greatest platform of happiness, although actually it is the source of distress. The kripanas, the fools, who are just the opposite of brahmanas, are not satisfied by repeated sensuous enjoyment. Those who are dhira, however, who are sober and who tolerate this itching, are not subjected to the sufferings of fools and rascals. Purport. Materialists think that sexual indulgence is the greatest happiness in this material world, and therefore they make elaborate plans to satisfy their senses, especially the genitals. This is generally found everywhere, and is specifically found in the Western world, where there are regular arrangements to satisfy sex life in different ways. Actually, however, this has not made anyone happy. Even the hippies, who have given up all materialistic comforts of their fathers and grandfathers, cannot give up the sensational happiness of sex life. Such persons are described here as kripanas, misers. The human form of life is the greatest asset, for in this life one can fulfill the goal of existence. Unfortunately, however, because of lack of education and culture, people are victimized by the false happiness of sex life. Prahlad Maharaj therefore advises one not to be misled by this civilization of sense gratification, and especially not by sex life. Rather, one should be sober, avoid sense gratification, and be Krishna conscious. The lusty person who is compared to a foolish miser never gets happiness by sense gratification. The influence of material nature is very difficult to surpass. But as stated by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Man evaje prapadyamte mayan etan tarantite. If one voluntarily submits to the lotus feet of Krishna, he can be saved very easily. In reference to the low-grade happiness of sex life, Yamunacharya says, in this connection, Jadabhati Mamacheta Krishna Para Darabinde Nava Nava Rasa Damu Damanu Diata Ratam Asit Tada Savat Tada Vadhi Bhatanari Sangame Smara Smaryamane Babati Mukha Bikarashustu Nishtivanancha. Quote, Since I've been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in Him. Whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought, and my lips curl with distaste. End of quote. Yamunacharya has formerly been a great king who enjoys sexual happiness in various ways. But since he later engaged himself in the service of the Lord, he enjoyed spiritual bliss and hated to think of sex life. If sexual thoughts came to him, he would spit with disgust. Jadmatyunadi grihamedi shukanhituchan kandu janena karajor iva dukha dukham tripyanti neha kripana bahudukha bhaja kandu tivan manasijam vishaheta dhira. Sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. Grihamedis, so-called grihastas, who have no spiritual knowledge, think that this itching is the greatest platform of happiness, although actually it is a source of distress. The kripanas, the fools who are just the opposite of brahmanas, are not satisfied by repeated sensuous enjoyment. Those who are dhira, however, who are sober and who tolerate this itching are not subjected to the sufferings of fools and rascals. Om agyana timirandasya jananjana shalakaja chakshur umilitam jena tasmai sri gurve namaha nama om vishnu padaya krishna prasaya bhutale shrimate ramapada swami niti namine nama om vishnu padaya krishna prasaya bhutale shrimate bhaktivedanta swami niti namine namaste saraswate deve gauravani pracharine nirvishesha shunyavadi pashatyade satarine Bancha kalpa tarubhyasya kripa sindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. Thank you so much for your kind welcome. I'm very excited, both my wife and I, to be part of this wonderful temple and have the association of all of you. Hare Krishna. Thank you. This is an impromptu class, so you have to forgive me. My dear and respected God brother just obliged me, so I cannot say no to him ever. Whatever he say, I say yes. So I try to speak a little bit. This is wonderful prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. And in general, the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj are pretty amazing. If you read throughout, when he preaches to the children, when he preaches to Hiranyakashipu, when he prays to the Lord, all are very, very important instructions for just conditioned souls. You paint a picture of this material world, being a conditioned soul in this material world. And is just one amazing verse and instructions after another one. This is one of the famous ones that describes the mentality of a materialistic conditioned soul, a person who is conditioned by these bodily conceptions, who is completely absorbed in material sense gratification. And specifically, he points out the biggest and the greatest source of material happiness, or so-called material happiness, because that's the point, sex life. There's a say that sex makes the world go round, right? You hear that. And the fact is that it's specifically designed to sort of trip the living entity into this material consciousness. The whole arrangement is specifically designed like that. And every living single entity in this creation is basically driven by that sort of enjoyment. And Prahlad Maharaj makes clear that is actually a complete illusion. It's not a big deal. But somehow or other, it's amazing what illusion does. Is that somehow or other, we believe and we get to believe that this is just an amazing type of thing that makes, give a purpose to life. And basically everything is driven by that. Everything is driven by that. Because of my work, I have to deal with a lot of pop culture. And they usually have something. They have video machines and things like that. And sometimes they have artists speaking. And it's amazing the amount of energy and the amount of mental energy that goes into this whole thing. And you see the type of culture that creates. That is a culture that, you know, and I also see it. I work with a lot of young people. This is my business is in music, in the music industry. And how much time? I mean, if we sometimes think, wow, we spend so much of our time, wake up, you know, super early, and we go all the way to 9 doing our sadhana. So there's a good 4 or 5 hours that we spend on sadhana. It's amazing when you see the amount of time that people spend just grooming themselves and making themselves, you know. I have this, one of my co-workers is this very nice girl, young girl, and she's constantly grooming herself. And I would say, wow, this is like, you know, like sadhana. You know, it does it very regularly and spends so much time. It's just a nice person. It's a very good-hearted person. You know, actually pious. One time she pulls out a book, one of the small book, you know, Christian, one of the devotees just sold her a book. And, you know, she's one of the co-workers that happily takes prasadam and bring prasadam. And, but anyway, it's just part of the culture. These are nice, innocent people who have, you know, good-hearted, that are, you know, they have some piety, but they're completely misled by culture. And they go to so much anxiety. You hear talks, you know, about how, you know, the anxiety of not having, you know, a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or the anxiety of if this one is going to cheat or not, you know, to be attractive or not, the anxiety of being sort of attractive, the anxiety of making sure that you have this, you have that, and it's incredible. Sometimes you hear the type of anxiety that kids have to go through in the schools just to keep up with that. Even, you know, to a very young age, you know, something like just 11-year-olds and 12-years-old, they get all this indoctrination that this is the goal of life. And you have to, oh, maybe I'm a little too overweight, maybe my teeth are not perfect, maybe this, maybe that, you know, this is all imagery that it have to do with being attractive to the opposite sex. And it creates so much anxiety. And it never stops. Then when you go to the prime of your, you know, sort of youth, and you know, you're, there's just the beauty of youth, of a youthful body, but then it's the anxiety of, you know, I'm getting old, and you know, my, what should I do? The people are having, you see, what is it like, you know, 60-year-old people, you know, all like, their face looks like they kind of, if they stretch a little more, you know, it's just going to pop out, you know. So much anxiety because of that. It really, if we step back, is it something that gives happiness? It's just anxiety. So much anxiety about people being accepted and just on the externals. And even people who think who have a little better understanding and then try to look beyond the externals and also, you know, look more at the person's character, still they are fooled and confused by this whole idea. So it is, and the fact is that, you know, we have the great fortune that we're given something very, very wonderful. That we've been given knowledge, transcendental knowledge, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's followers. But we're infected also because we're growing in this material world. So it's not something that we can take simply like, okay, just see, they, you know, they're all confused. But no, it's as long as we have material desires and, you know, as long as we're not fully realized that we're not this body, we're a spirit soul, we are affected by that type of disease, by that type of confusion, illusion. Right now, because in the association of devotees, and for some of us who are fortunate to be in part of a spiritual community, for those of us who come every morning to worship and see the deities, to some of us who have the opportunity to hear daily the Srimad Bhagavatam in association of devotees, we're protected. However, we step a little bit out of this, if we still have this type of, we are still afflicted by this difficulty, by this condition, it can come like this, in a moment. So, the opportunity to be in this position of living in the temple or being part of a community that does this in a regular basis is the most fortunate thing. And we cannot take it for granted. This is something that is the greatest luxury for someone like us, that we have a desire to come to elevate our consciousness to Krishna consciousness. For some of us who appreciate and who have given, you know, something very special, this parandrishta nivartante, this higher taste. So it's something that we can't take for granted. It's something that we should appreciate and be so grateful about it. Because dealing with the material energy is not easy. And we're constantly bombarded by it. Just step out and we're constantly bombarded by this message. And the worst thing is that we're already infected by that. I mean, at least, you know, I can speak by myself. I grew up in the West. Some of you have the fortune of being, you know, growing in India, but so many of you also, like me, grew in Western cultures. And we, you know, from the very birth, we've been bombarded by this message. So that is there. And to be able to withhold that is very difficult. Actually, the description is impossible. The description is duratyaya. Duratyaya means, Naivi hesha guna mayi mama maya duratyaya. That maya of Krishna, the material energy, is duratyaya. Duratyaya means is impossible to overcome. For a conditioned soul, it's an impossibility. It's just too much, too powerful. So there's no way of going out of that. But if we take shelter of Krishna, Krishna's devotees, then mayan etan tarantite, it becomes possible. In fact, it's simple. It's just depending on us. But the point that I'm, you know, taking out of this, and I want to share with you, it's not a simple thing. It's not a simple thing just to be out there and maintain a very strong Krishna consciousness. So we have to appreciate and be so grateful about this opportunity and embrace it and don't let it go. We can be, this for us is a space when we have, we not only a shelter, but being given, you know, it's almost like you get like a little vaccine or something. And if we maintain this regularly, then dealing with material nature, you can have that protection. That is becoming dhira, becoming a brahmana, to have that type of soberness, to be able to, when you're dealing with material nature, it's like some of you are doing book distribution. Doing book distribution when you have a strong sadhana is a breeze. It's fun. And actually, even you're dealing with people that are materialistic people, you're still protected. But if you don't have this, imagine being able to do that. It's not easy. It's not possible. Very difficult. So we can be complacent and we cannot take it for granted. We cannot think that, oh, I have time here, you know, I'm a strong devotee, people don't see me, oh, such a nice devotee. Yes, I have accumulated certain skills. I'm able to preach, I'm able to distribute books, I'm able to sing very nicely, I can do this service and this and that. And you know, it's going fine. But the moment we start to become a little proud and a little complacent, or a little, you know, like, things are going all right, I'm fine, and you start to slacken a little bit, then it's like it comes down like a block. You know, it's like it's there just waiting. We can't take it for granted. We have to embrace the situation with so much gratitude that
you know, yeah, with that type of gratitude. So how can we show a gratitude? How can we express our gratitude to the opportunity that we have? Prabhupada explains, well, the philosophy explains through service. Through service, to commitment, service to those who are giving us the opportunity, to those who are providing for us the opportunity. Srila Prabhupada, service to his mission. Without Srila Prabhupada, there was no chance to this world, to the world actually to have this type of opportunity. So serving Prabhupada's institution and Prabhupada's mission, just to reciprocate with that we have received. Serving those who are representative of Srila Prabhupada, who are giving us directly this opportunity. Service to those who are taking responsibility on behalf of Srila Prabhupada's institution to facilitate for each one of us. And service to each one of us, like that, service to the devotees. Because without the association of each one of us, you know, we'll be missing, you know, this. It's such a wonderful thing. It's such an amazing situation that we've been given. Because we get the opportunity to actually become dhira. Become the opportunity to be free from this. It's an ugly illusion. It's horrible. And the worst thing is that type of illusion that even knowing that it costs you so much misery, you can't do anything about it. It's amazing how you see people who are addicted to something and how that addiction causes so much suffering. And even then, knowing that it costs them suffering, they can stop. The other day I was just walking to the market, to one of those stores, and I see this guy like this, all emancipated like that, and smoking. And I say, wow. It's amazing how it's possible that, you know, something so obvious, they can do anything about it. And like that, in all different levels of material sense gratification, it's just a cause of so much miseries. And it's sad. But even sadder is that when you know, we allow ourselves to have this little thing and that, and then that escalates to this, and that escalates to that, you know. And then we know better, but you can't escape. And you know what helps you to actually maintain some capacity of stopping or being able to you know, not allow you to be led, you know, completely in this horrible illusion, is this, the association of devotees and the process that Prabhupada has given us. It's perfect and it's complete. Prabhupada's process, each one of the things that Prabhupada has established is complete. And it's not only complete, it's something that is supposed to go on as it is, perfect, for the next, you know, years to come. The Prabhupada's institution is perfectly designed for the world. And we have to have faith on that. We have to have faith on that. Not blind faith, because it's there in the scriptures. Not blind faith because the acharyas. Prabhupada was simply a great acharya who's the Prabhupada's institution was conceptualized and was designed by his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. Everything that we see, that we receive here, was conceived by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Prabhupada's methodology. Prabhupada is only a few variations, 16 rounds instead of 64. But the way this whole institution is designed, to the facilities that this institution provides, it was conceptualized by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta did that to fulfill the vision of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, great visionary. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to fulfill the desire and the mission of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that this message of Krishna consciousness is delivered all over the world, every town and village. Srila Bhaktivinoda conceptualized. Now that he was able to re-establish the supremacy of Lord Chaitanya's movement in India, he conceptualized, he envisioned, and he did what it was needed. He wanted this knowledge to be given to the West. That was his vision. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta took that, and then with his amazing, powerful intellect, he conceptualized it and he envisioned a worldwide society. How it will work and how it will maintain itself and being able to fulfill that desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every town and village of the world. Srila Prabhupada took that vision and applied by the letter. He followed that blueprint of his Guru Maharaj and established this ISKCON society. Every single sin that we see in this ISKCON society, in this institution, the morning program is perfect. The books are perfect. The knowledge is perfect. Nothing to be added. We can go back home, back to Godhead. We can develop, you know, our full Krishna consciousness by simply following Prabhupada's program. The books that he gave us are sufficient. The service, the program that he gave us, the morning program, the Bhagavatam class, by Bhagavatam alone you can become Krishna conscious. It is said there. So everything is complete, and is complete for the next 10,000 years. We can have faith on that and embrace it, appreciate it, gratefully take it, and reciprocate by our commitment to service. And that in itself will allow us to be shielded from that illusion. Shielded for the bombardment of that illusion and what we have inside that is infected with that illusion. That becomes cleansed by following that process. So, particularly myself, I'm very grateful to be, and I'm looking forward. I spend a good part of my life doing service in the temple, and then living in the temple, and then the last 15 years I've been outside the temple. And it hasn't been an easy thing, with ups and downs. My saving grace is that I have faith in my Guru Maharaj, so I always kept very connected, but I'm looking forward now for the opportunity to come back to full-time service. And we're working into that. There's still a few more things to, you know, fix. But the opportunity, especially when we have it and then we don't have it, you know, then you can appreciate it much more. But it is said that a higher intelligence is when you take the experience of others and embrace it. So you don't have to go through that. Just appreciate what you have right now and never take it for granted. It's an amazing thing. The most wonderful thing. Prabhupada said, one to one disciple, if you understand, if you come to understand how fortunate you are, you faint right on the spot. So I stop here. Any comments or questions? Yes, bro.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, thank you for your class and thank you for coming to Chicago. My question is related to the verse 7:14 of the Gita that's quoted in this purport. In that purport, Prabhupada mentions that we're tied by like the ropes of illusion and we can only be released by the mercy of the spiritual master or Krishna. So my question is basically that in our material life, I'm not sure if you heard of this magician named Houdini. He could get out by himself. So that's kind of our situation. We try to get out the shackles of material existence ourselves. And the reason I say this is because you were mentioning at your job that people go through, they're in anxiety over so many apparently frivolous things that seem like. But for devotees, they may be going through the same thing. And a lot of times, it's hard to develop trust. Trust is one of the like most hardest developed things because we could see that if there's some controversy or somebody commits a mistake, you hear about it everywhere. You know, we're all imperfect, so even devotees are not. So, but it appears that we can't be really released from this anarthas or anxiety unless we like really trust people. And it's kind of hard to develop that trust. So what is this person supposed to do if they have that dilemma that if I'm struggling with something, I don't want to tell anyone because it might get out, or, you know, what is a person to do in that particular dilemma? Because I see it personally among devotees, including myself. So trust is one of the most hardest things to develop.
Yeah. There's many things we can say about that. I can share with you something that I consider, you know, important. There's always going to be some, especially because we're not in the level of, you know, Uttama Adhikaris. Most of us aren't, you know, in the level of trying to deal with our material condition, you know, so it's clean, you know, our anarthas. So we have to keep that in mind, that we're all trying, and there's no doubt that it's going to be differences. There's no doubt that it's going to be difference of opinion, difference of seeing things. That's just a granted stuff. That's just the expected thing. And the reason that we have conflict with that we have some disagreements that. Yeah, some sort of a conflict, either personal or, you know, as a group. is it have to do with just a little bit of false ego, and that we are seeing things from my perspective, and that's it. We're not embracing that unifying us. We're focusing more on our differences. And a spiritual atmosphere, like a Vaikuntha atmosphere, is an atmosphere when there is unity in diversity. That very famous, Prabhupada explains that. Unity in diversity. The thing that unifies us is this. The thing that unifies us is that we are all trying to serve Guru and Krishna. The instructions of our founder Acharya, that's what unifies us. So the thing that make us different is natural, because we have different backgrounds. So I may see something and you may see in a different way. That's expected. So how we do that? How do we have differences living together with unity? That's a spiritual world. Is achintya veda veda tattva. Simultaneously one and difference. So there's oneness, there's differences. That's the spiritual world. In Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, there's so much variety, there's differences, but everything is harmonious. The left-wing gopis and the right-wing gopis, they see completely difference, and the way they acted is just make the other one just go like, no, no, no. But they have something in the center, Krishna's happiness, and that unified them. So, if we see ourselves personally having a conflict of any nature, then it is very important that we look inside and we see, what am I doing? Why this is happening? And we can take it for granted. It's happening because I am exercising my false ego. I'm not seeing, you know, from the perspective of the devotional perspective. I'm seeing from another perspective, from an external perspective. Prabhupada gave us He gave us a very important instruction that most likely is arguably the most difficult one, arguably. He said cooperation. Why cooperation? Why Prabhupada emphasized, gave that instruction? That was his last instruction to all his disciples. How we can show our love to Srila Prabhupada? That means, how can we reciprocate properly with Srila Prabhupada as Prabhupada's follower? One can imagine book distribution, preaching, opening these temples, so many things that one can imagine. And Prabhupada say, you show that by working in cooperation with each other. And you have proof. We've seen it. If you follow the history of ISKCON, you see that there has been so many conflicts, you know, on following that instruction. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's institution was dismantled by not following that instruction. Srila Prabhupada's institution is strong because there's some people who are embracing that instruction and they're willing to compromise. So we have to see. You know, when there is something that is in conflict like that, we have to work it out. We have to always balance it with that unify us, and that's Srila Prabhupada's instruction. So meaning is just maturity. It's not a big thing. It's expected. We're trying, we're growing, so it's a matter of maturity. We need to mature. We need to grow like that. But anyway, I don't know if I touch or answer, but that's something that I've been thinking a lot myself.
Oh, thank you. That was an important point. I'm glad you answered that one. My question was mainly directed towards the individual, not in relation to any particular person, but just like you were mentioning at your work, people, you know, are anxiety over who's cheating on who, or I need this partner, stuff like that. Individual, you know, not really necessarily in regards to any conflict, but really internal conflict with oneself that you don't want to reveal to anyone, because we see that that's mainly devotees are, you know, that's heavy materialists are criticized, you know, in our classes, naturally, because, you know, we can see that, you know, if you can't overcome these anarchy, the relationship is going to dismantle anyways. So my question is necessarily is that, you know, trust in that sense that, you know, when we hear classes, you're like, okay, I don't want people to know that I'm also materialistic too. And so what is a person to do is hard to trust. That was kind of my direction. I was going with a question.
It's nice to have that. Yeah, sorry. Now I understand your question. It's nice to have someone to trust. You know, we need to find that type of persons that we can submit ourselves. And then we trust. We have faith as a spiritual master. So having a spiritual master is the most wonderful thing that can happen in your life. Having that relationship, there's nothing in the world that compares to that relationship. It's the most wonderful thing. It's like being a baby in the lap of your father and mother, like that. There's nothing more soothing and you know, that you feel like that. So we have to desire and pray for that relationship. Meanwhile, as we're growing, you know, it can be expected. It's not easy, you know. It's not easy. So that's what I'm saying, that for us, this in itself is the greatest luxury. It's the most wonderful thing. We all. I mean, I have to deal also with all kinds of stuff that I just stuck in there. It just don't go away. I mean, I've been doing it for so many years and still the same thing. It doesn't go. So therefore, even more, you know, it's like this, hearing Bhagavatam every day. Imagine. That's what the Bhagavatam tells you to do, and you have the facility to do it, you know, as a regular thing. In the association with devotees, in front of the deities. Whew, what a luxury. What an amazing thing. So that in itself, just this is what helps us. Material desires, you know, that's a rough thing. It doesn't gonna go away just like that. Prahlad Maharaj says it's an itch. We just have to learn to tolerate. You know, it's rough to, you know, you have an itch, you know, dry skin, and, you know, you keep scratching, and, you know, it is to tolerate the thing and to hold and not to scratch is not easy. But, you know, this helps us. So that's what I'm saying. That was what I, you know, was coming out of this verse. We have to appreciate this so much. Yeah. I think we stop. Any one more question?
And thank you, Prabhu. You're highlighting the infallibility of Prabhupada's institution, program, the method that he gave. So we have faith in that. Also, you know, Prabhupada did emphasize you can judge something by the results. So sometimes people begin to think differently if they don't see results, if they don't see, for example, like temples, for many years, we haven't seen so much growth and development. We know the process is pure, but we're not able to see the result so much. So how would you, you know, kind of disperse that those types of perhaps criticisms or because sometimes that inspires, well, maybe we need to do something else.
Yeah, it's something that you want to follow, you want to be a cook, and you don't follow the recipe, and you become frustrated. Why is not coming out, this cake is not coming properly. It doesn't, you know, raise. But, you know, I have the book, the recipe book, but I have it closed. Oh, sure, I can figure it out. You know, you put flour, you put salt, you put sugar, you put, you know, a little taste, and put it in the oven with some water and put it in the oven. But I don't, you know, how long I put it in the oven, maybe, you know, like that. If we see that there's a problem, like I tell you, I have customers that, you know, they're buying something from me, some equipment. You know, I sell them very good equipment. And they say, oh, so if this doesn't work, then can I return it? I say, well, you can return it, but it doesn't work. It's because you're doing something wrong. Because this is very good equipment. So it means that you're ignorant or you're doing something wrong. You're not following the instructions. And you're lazy that you don't read the instructions. So if something is not happening, if we are not growing, if we're not doing something, it's because we're not applying fully Prabhupada's system. Especially cooperation. That's so difficult. That the cooperation part. How can you have, you know, something, an institution functioning fully healthy if you have, you know, if you don't have that type of arrangement? So, you know, if it's not happening, imagine taking the position of, oh, Prabhupada's system is not working. I'm willing to say Prabhupada is, you know, like, who I am. I'm just a little guy, you know. Even if I'm a little guy with some, you know, I have this little achievement, you know. I have my borrowed plumes, you know, so, you know, like that. No way. We're not applying properly. That's what I believe. So what should we do? We should be even more eager and more and understand the system properly. It's just think about it. This comes from the acharyas. These are not ordinary acharyas. Bhaktivinoda, Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Prabhupada. I mean, these are universally historic persons. These are Vrindavan Vasis that came to do things for us. So we just have to apply it. And if it's not working, it's because we're not doing something right. It's on us. It's not on them. All right. We stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.